Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Calling all cars, proceed directly to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast that folds up like a cheap suit. Here is the man who spends his spare time counting to infinity. It's Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And as my nephew, my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, probably just told you, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's wonderful to have you here. We are going to help you understand Medicare to some extent, guide you to a great source of Medicare knowledge, and expect that someday you will come and ask for a little bit of assistance from a licensed insurance agent to help you through the final steps of Medicare to acquire those Medicare insurance coverages that are going to be the icing on your Medicare cake. And this will allow you to walk off into the future happy and secure in the fact that you have conquered a potentially confusing and possibly detrimental government program. You will be the victor because you will know how to handle it. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. I'm watching my neighbors come out of their house. Yesterday it was 75 degrees at my house in beautiful Arizona. Today it's not even going to hit 60, I don't think. And so they are all bundled up and walking off to breakfast, even in Arizona, in a cold, cold, almost winter day. You're still able to walk to the places that you'd like to go and come back without freezing your little tootsies off. Anyway, why are we here? We're here because I believe the best source of Medicare information for most people is going to be my book, which is Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And you may get that book at either BarnesandNoble.com or, more likely, Amazon.com. It's available to you in any of four separate editions, depending on your wants, needs, and budget. If you have a very tiny budget, but you still need to get Medicare education, then I would suggest getting the Kindle version if you have a device that will accommodate their electronic books, their Kindle or e-readers, as some call them. If you want to just listen while somebody does all the work of reading, turning pages, and all of that, then you can get the Audible version of the book. If you've got a loved one or a friend or relative, perhaps, who is approaching Medicare, there is a beautiful, nicely engineered hardcover version that costs $22, but it's really, it makes a nice gift for someone that you want them to know that you respect and admire them and that you want to look out for their welfare, which can really be a funny joke if they're, say, under age 60 and they're far away from Medicare. When you give them that book, it's an indication that you think of them as being a little older than maybe they think of themselves. And then the most common purchase when people go to Amazon to buy my book, they wind up with the $8 paperback version. But the important thing is when you put the Medicare for the Lazy Man into the search window, put the year, the numbers in there, 2023, so you don't accidentally wind up with an older version. So Randy Carson is my friend and my podcast engineer and my spiritual guru. He is sitting here in his backyard, in spite of the chilly weather, it looks like the sun is out and everything is hunky-dory at your end of the neighborhood. Randy,
it is.
What's new with you?
It is. It's absolutely hunky and dory.
Wonderful.
And as you can see, I'm sitting right on the edge of my pool.
Yes.
The sun is out. Is the sun really out?
No. Well, we acquired a new thing. I've got a new neighbor. And you see this cube I'm
holding?
I do. See, it's got numbers on it.
Has numbers on it, 5, 10, 15, 20, 1. Yeah, okay. So there's six sides. What are the six sides for?
Well, the six sides, actually, two of the sides are basically worthless. One of the sides, and this is a timer. And so if you want to set the timer, what you do is you turn it on, and then you put it down with the number up. I'm going to use five. And
all
this
right.
is what I'm hoping is going to inspire us to be a little more disciplined, because you and I have caught ourselves jaw-jacking for 10 or 15 minutes at the beginning of each episode, especially when we didn't see each other for a couple of weeks. A lot to catch up on, what's new in your life, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm hoping now that when the timer goes off, we can get down to our Medicare beeswax. What do you think?
Have you heard it go off yet?
I just set it for 5 minutes, so you got 5 minutes to tell me everything that's been on your mind lately.
Well, my mind doesn't hold 5 minutes worth of information, so.
All right, well, in that case, I guess we're ready to go, and when the thing goes off, at least we'll know that the timer works.
Absolutely.
We have, Mary bought two of these things, and they each have different types of numbers on them, so we could go up to an hour if we wanted to, but I don't think the audience would sit still for that very long.
Do they beep or chirp or whistle, or what do they do?
It makes a noise that you will hear. I hate to describe it. I'd rather have you hear it yourself. Let's see how clearly it comes through the microphone.
All right. So I do have one quick question.
I knew it. Go ahead.
Do you want to play Stump the Medicare Expert?
Well, you know me. I never turn down an opportunity to play Stump the Medicare Expert.
All right. I've got some wonderful questions for today. And I know you are just going to love them.
You want to do them now, or do you want to do them later?
Yeah, they're quick little questions.
Okay.
That way we can get off and do our business on Medicare.
Okay.
Today is a very, it's a monumental day. I wouldn't say it's a good monumental day, but it's certainly very memorable. On this day in 1981, what happened?
March 30th, 1981. On this day in 1981, I'm going to say, is this the day that Anwar Sadat was assassinated?
No.
Okay. I can't think of anything else that would have happened in 1981 that was noteworthy. So you're going to have to bail me out of this one.
You were very, in a strange sort of way, you were very close, though. This is the day that President Reagan was shot in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Outside the, what was he? He was outside something.
He was at a hotel. He had stopped at a hotel to give a speech, I think, a short luncheon address. And he came out of there with the Secret Service and police escorts. And that Hinckley kid just managed to, go unnoticed until a couple of shots were fired.
And do you remember his great quote? And, you would expect this out of President Reagan. Do you remember his great quote?
He told the surgeon that he hoped he was a Republican.
That, and he told Nancy something else. There was another one.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I forgot to duck, honey.
Yes. And in fact, he did not know he had been hit by a bullet. He thought the pain that he was suffering was from Tim, whatever his name was, the Secret Service guy who landed on him, because Tim threw him in the car and then threw himself on top of him in the back seat of the limousine, and the car took off, and Reagan yelled at him for ouch, it was very painful, and it turns out he had a bullet wound.
Yep. So here's one more.
Are these coming from Dominic, our new favorite?
No, these are based on my own research. What happened on this day in 1867?
I'm going to say the Alaskan Purchase.
Oh my God, you are correct. You
Seward's
are
Folly.
You are good, so good at this stuff.
Oh boy,
I have to work a little harder.
I redeemed myself.
You did. So anyway, that was Stump the Insurance Expert, and I have to say, based on the circumstances, I have to give him a thumbs up for the whole deal.
Oh, I'm modestly willing to accept all the thumbs up that come my way. There are people like the spousal unit who might say that my brain is full of details, unconnected details that are meaningless. But I, on the other hand, am happy to at least not be too embarrassed by a session of Stump the Insurance Expert.
Well, I, like you, am a trivia hound, so you might be surprised how much of my brain is stocked up with that.
Do you hear anything noteworthy at all?
I can tell you something right now.
What's that?
Why is the sky blue?
Oh, because, okay, I was hoping that you heard our timer, but it was too far away from the microphone.
I did.
It was telling us to quit goofing around and get down to beeswax.
Well, maybe that's an omen. Let's go ahead and move on forward.
All right, we'll talk about the color of the sky another time then.
Okay. As your nominal producer, I suppose I ought to ask you to do some actual Medicare work now. So I'm going to go ahead and mute myself out, and you can march forward smartly.
And somehow with a 5-minute timer that's brand new, that should be functioning perfectly, we've still managed to blow 11 minutes from the time I started my clock.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, so my timer experiment is a complete failure.
Pretty much.
I'm sorry. To the audience, I apologize. We're going to try to do better. I just don't know how we're going to accomplish that. Okay, so I've got a giant pile of stuff. It continues to grow. And what I'm going to try to do is to address things that are not Medicare Advantage related in this particular episode, and maybe concentrate all of that stuff in the next episode. So as I go through here, Medicare Advantage, there is a war, Medicare Advantage war heating up in Congress, and various other people are grabbing their positions. They're staking out their positions in the Medicare Advantage war. And frankly, Randy and I are avid participants in that war. And if you don't know what side we're on, then you're going to be seeing or hearing about it before too awful long. But among the articles I have here is an article about dementia. And often Mary says, you know, that was a nice little podcast episode, but it wasn't really about Medicare. Well, this isn't specifically about Medicare, but Medicare-age people are always concerned about dementia. Nobody wants to get dementia. I've got friends who are concerned about it to the extent that they go to sessions in a hyperbaric chamber in order to theoretically stave off Alzheimer's disease. I don't know that that's necessarily a proven technique, but they seem to enjoy the experience. And so the husband and the wife go to these hyperbaric chambers and undergo treatment. In this case, this little article here says a higher dose of magnesium each day keeps dementia at bay. And this was research done at the Australian National University. And the sub-headline says, more magnesium in our daily diets leads to better brain health as we age, according to scientists. Now, my wife believes everything like this she reads. If she could, she would have me stuffed full of food supplements and oddball pills. She believes all the stuff she watches in the commercials. She believes all these articles in the health magazines. And frankly, I've seen many opinions change over the years. Coffee is going to kill you. Stop drinking coffee. Oh, coffee's good for you. Start drinking it again. No, it's going to kill you. Stop drinking it. And so I don't buy any of this stuff, but this may be of interest to people. This higher dose of magnesium, according to researchers, increased intake of magnesium-rich foods such as spinach and nuts could also help reduce the risk of dementia, which is the second leading cause of death in Australia and the seventh biggest killer globally. A study of more than 6,000 cognitively healthy participants in the United Kingdom, and these participants were aged 40 to 73, this study found that people who consume more than 550 milligrams of magnesium each day have a brain age that is approximately 1 year younger by the time they reach age 55, compared with somebody with a normal magnesium intake of about 350 milligrams a day. So they say you should be north of 550 milligrams of magnesium rather than less than or equal to 350 milligrams a day. Our study shows that a 41% increase in magnesium intake could lead to a less age-related brain shrinkage, which is associated with better cognitive function and lower risk or delayed onset of dementia in later life. The research highlights the potential benefits of a diet high in magnesium and the role it plays in promoting good brain health. It's believed the number of people worldwide who will be diagnosed with dementia is expected to more than double, from 57 million in 2019 to 152 million in 2050. Okay, that seems like a shot in the dark. This would place a greater strain on health and social services and the global economy. And let's not talk about the global economy. Let's talk about the United States economy. Since there is no cure for dementia and the development of pharmacological treatments has been unsuccessful for the past 30 years, it's been suggested that greater attention should be directed towards prevention. Our research could inform the development of public health interventions aimed at promoting healthy brain aging through dietary strategies. The researchers say a higher intake of magnesium in our diets from a younger age may safeguard against neurodegenerative diseases and cognitive decline by the time we reach our 40s. Well, Randy and I are way past our 40s, and although we might be occasionally accused of having cognitive decline, generally that's based on irate spouses and not necessarily factual information. I've had quite an uptick in people coming to me to get their Medicare supplements and their drug plans recently. And one thing I've had occurring with greater frequency is clients who have a larger than average quantity of prescription medication that they're taking, and some of them have very expensive drugs. And so that when I run their data through the government database to choose the cheapest drug plan for them, the most effective drug plan, which means that they're out-of-pocket expenses for the balance of this year would be smaller, they still have surprisingly high prescription drug expenses that they would have to pay in co-pays and deductibles and so forth. And so here's a little article I ran across entitled "How to Avoid Sticker Shock on Prescriptions." It's a Consumer Reports article. Usually I don't like Consumer Reports because some of their opinions are stodgy, and I never have agreed with their automobile recommendations. Well, actually, I did once. I bought a 76 Oldsmobile Cutlass, and it had excellent reports from Consumer Reports. But other than that, I am not a big fan of Consumer Reports. But they have said that high drug costs affect everyone, and they have a disproportionate impact on seniors. Both because they have a greater need for them and because Medicare does not cover all of their drug expenses. So here's what you can do right now to avoid sticker shock on prescriptions. One, evaluate your medication needs. More than half the adults 65 and over say they take at least 4 prescription drugs. Some may not be necessary. Sometimes patients are put on a prescription medication that's only meant to be used for a short time, and it just keeps going to automatic refill. Simpler recommendations, having your doctor's office, Simpler is a guy's name. He recommends having your doctor's office or pharmacist review all your medications once a year to make sure you're taking the right meds for your medical problems. Annual medication checks are almost always covered by Medicare. Also, if a certain medication is too expensive, tell your doctor. You can ask your insurance company for a copy of your drug plan formulary. a list of all medications covered by your insurance company, and you can discuss it with your physician. This will help you and your doctor figure out whether there's a more cost-effective option. Now, I should take a break here and explain that with the Medicare drug plans, people are so confused by the Medicare drug plan program, which started, I think, in 2006, if I'm not mistaken. In most areas of the country, there are about 24 drug plans available, and you can line them up from 1 to 24 in terms of how much cost you're going to be exposed to out of your pocket. And a lot of this depends on the formulary. Each drug plan is allowed to set up their own formulary or list of drugs. No drug plan covers all drugs. So you're always going to find that there are some holes in the drug plan formulary. So what you do is you tell me all of your drugs that you take, and you tell me the drug stores you like to purchase them, whether it be mail order or CVS or Walgreens or Al's drugstore down the street. And then I plug all that information into the government database on Medicare.gov, and I have instructions in my book as to how you can do that yourself if you'd rather. And then you'll come out with a comparison. Here's the cheapest drug plan for you for the rest of the year. Here's the second cheapest plan. Here's the third cheapest plan, all the way up to number 24, the most expensive plan. And so what you want to do is enroll in the cheapest plan, and then you want to reevaluate during open enrollment, or AEP, in October or November of each year. You want to do that process again to see if the next year's drug plan offerings have changed. In other words, maybe the plan you selected that was the best for you this year won't be the best for you next year. It might be that your needs have changed. It might be that your company has changed the premium on the plan. I've seen that happen with one particular insurance company twice. I've seen over the last few years, they have jacked up the price and not really made an effort to let their people know that it was going to cost twice or three times as much the following year. So I recommend that you do this process in October or November. Of course, I'm always happy to help my clients do it, and I'm always happy to welcome new clients who need assistance in determining what their best drug plan is. And I want to just skim over the rest of this, go over your coverage, consider paying cash, look into online pharmacies, get more help if you need it. This article wasn't written only for Medicare people, but here's another little blurb that I think might be of interest to some people. It's, should you be buying drugs from Canada? Canada is known for low prices on prescription drugs. Many brand name drugs are 28 to 46% cheaper there. Americans have been buying drugs from Canada for as long as there have been drug price discrepancies. Although the practice is technically illegal in most circumstances, the FDA generally doesn't stop people from obtaining medications from Canada. If you opt to do this, be sure of the following. The pharmacy or website has a Canadian street address. It's licensed in Canada. Go to napra.org and search online pharmacies. You want to be sure that it has a Canada-licensed pharmacist available to answer questions. Some online pharmacies claim they're in Canada, but are actually elsewhere. And then the other cautionary note is make sure the pharmacy is part of the Pharmacy Verified Websites program, and you can check that at Safe Pharmacy. It might be safe.pharmacy, and I'm sure that's a .com, which helps consumers find safe pharmacies. So hopefully that'll be helpful for people that have a shockingly expensive drug in their collection of prescriptions that their doctors have given them. It's happened more frequently lately, and I don't know if more people are taking them or just more candidates have come my way. Well, I can see by the big old clock on the wall that Randy and I blew the first third of our podcast time, and then the rest of it went by very, very quickly. So I guess we're probably in a position to close everything up for today, huh?
Our 75 cents is done. The crickets have chirped, so we need to bring her in for a landing. But before I do, there's several things I always like to touch on to take care of before we sign off. I always want to thank the audience. Without you, it's a lot more non-exciting than it is with you. So we always appreciate you dropping by. We know that you could have been doing 100 different things now that the weather is picking up a little bit. And you weren't. You were here with us listening to a little bit of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And, you know, the other thing we would ask you to do is, if you're, I'm going to run a contest, okay? The contest is going to be, if you are a new listener to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, I want you to send an email to Doug at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. He loves to get them. And if you are one of the new listeners or relatively new, we're going to do something special for you. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be special. So do that. dbj@mlmmailbag.com if you're a new listener. Take a look at medicareforthelazyman.com, which is our website. We're making some really cool changes to that. But in the meantime, if you can find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and or the book, we'd certainly appreciate it because we're always in competition. 5 stars would be so cool if you could do it. But for today, thank you. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, living in his fortress of solitude up in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I'm going to chalk us in at about 75.6.
That's not bad. I'll take that any day. Thank you so much, Randy. And thank you, audience, for being with us. We'll see you next time.